In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
To say that death hurts is an understatement. To say that we're sad doesn't nearly grasp the intensity of emotions or the complexity of our emotions. The woman lost her husband and now is bearing her son, her only son. Death is a nasty guest. It doesn't care your age. It doesn't care if others depend on you. It doesn't care at all about the living. It visits indiscriminately, leaving behind a wake of tears, brokenness, and fractured families. At its arrival, we lose something, and it's more than simply separation. It's almost as if part of us is missing. And the closer we are to a person, the more we grieve, the more we mourn. We mourn because we love. If we did not love them, we would not mourn. So the widow is not sinning when she grieves. And our Lord is not rebuking her when he says, "Don't cry." As an Old Testament believer, she also confessed the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. But still, death hurts. Still, it steals joy. We can't pretend that it doesn't hurt. We can't pretend that that body is not our loved one. It still is. So we treat the body with respect, honor, and dignity. There are no pre-existing souls waiting for bodies. But the moment God created our body is the moment he created our soul. The two are meant to live together forever. And so death brings about a most unnatural separation of body and soul. We know it's chasing. We know it's pursuing us as well. We even have a saying, the only two things certain in life are death and taxes. But just because we know that it is certain doesn't mean it is natural. We were not created to die, but we were created to live. And not simply for brief moments of time on earth, but forever with Christ, not just as a soul, but as a body and a soul perfectly united as God intended us to be. So we cannot pretend that the deceased is not dead. He is. We cannot pretend that they were the most loving, wonderful person the world has ever known. They were certainly most dear to us. But let us not turn them into something they were not. They too confessed that they were sinners, even as we do this very day. Let us not pretend that we are not sad. Even many years removed, we still are. And let us not pretend that they live on only in our memory. Frankly, I don't want a memory. I want them. So we grieve with the widow. For death is real. For a time we suffer its cold hands, and unless our Lord returns, every single one of our loved ones will die, whether before or after us. All must die because all have sinned. Death comes because of sin. We hope that we die first, because we don't want to have to feel death's cold grip yet again. We know death stings. We know it hurts. And especially with those we dearly love, we hope that we go before them. In a sense, it's somewhat selfish of us. We do not doubt where they have gone. We know they are baptized. We know they confessed Christ. So we do not doubt where the souls of the faithful departed are. They rest with Christ in heavenly bliss and glory, free from sorrow, free from pain, free from tears, free from mourning and grief and all else. Even as their bodies now rest in a grave. Both body and soul are waiting. They are waiting for the day that Christ returns to unite soul and body once more. So both are waiting, and neither have full glory quite yet. They are not yet complete. The souls are waiting for their bodies once more. And at the resurrection, they will have a far greater joy, peace, and gladness than they can even now possibly imagine. For they will experience all the joys and bliss of heaven through their five natural senses, as God intended them to be, body and soul. We know this, we confess this, we believe this, and yet still it hurts. like the woman, still we grieve and mourn, still we can feel broken and empty. There are many misconceptions, even among Christians, about what happens to the departed. No, the deceased is not one with the universe. No, the deceased does not watch over us at all. No, the deceased does not take on the attributes of God, where he can be present in more than one place or knows all things. No, the deceased does not become an angel, for we do not believe in evolution. One creature cannot turn into another. And no, the deceased does not have some new or different body, but it's waiting for that same body that we laid to rest in a grave. For God loves that body, and he will not simply let it go the way of decay. He loves the body. He baptized the body, not the soul. He received Christ's body and blood with his mouth, not with his soul. He heard the word of God through his ears, not through his soul. So God loves the body. He redeemed the body. He saves the body and the soul so the two might be one together forever. So the body is important to Christ. He will not simply let it go the way of decay. So the body is important to us as well, and we treat it with dignity, honor, and respect. One of the reasons Mount Sinai is so terrifying is because God doesn't have a body there. And the reason that Bethlehem's manger is so comforting is because now God has on flesh and blood. He can't save us on Sinai, for if he does not become one with us, there is no salvation. But in that manger, he can now save. Regardless of how small and helpless he is, he can now save us because he is one with us. And now he can offer the widow a reason not to cry. Now he can reach out his hand and touch death. Now he can take death into his body and stop death once and for all. Death pursued him, and he welcomed it as his guest. It wrapped its cold hands around his neck, and he was laid in a tomb. He died. He died in the place of all men so that he might be the Savior of all men. And so that crucifix on our altar is the focal point of this sanctuary. Why? Because God has a body. And because God died a real death, the same that you and I will die, and the same that our loved ones have already died. So we do not just want to see a piece of wood in front of our eyes. We want to see that body. Notice again, it is lifeless. Because in death, Christ has ripped out death's sting. And in death, he has won the victory for all who believe, not simply for the souls, but for their bodies as well. That doesn't mean funerals are not sad. They are, and they should be. It's the result of sin. We suffer because of sin. We mourn and grieve and cry because of this unnatural separation that sin has brought into our life. But for us, at least for us Christians, funerals are not celebrations of life. They are celebrations of the life Christ gave. A Christian funeral does not try to paint or convince us that this person was wonderful and deserves to be in a better place. But it confesses that this person is good and righteous and holy because of Christ. A Christian funeral confesses that death is real and it hurts, and death is the result of sin. But it also confesses that Christ has overcome both sin and death. A Christian funeral is not about the departed, but it is about Christ and what he has done. And so it calls all to repent of their sins. It calls you and I to repent of our sins. Because someday we know that we too will die. For we too have sinned. None of us wants to die. We don't like going to funerals. It hurts us because we see not only in that loved one or in that body our loved one, but we also see that this is going to be us someday. That we will be gathered around by friends and family who mourn and grieve over losing us. We don't want to die. We don't want to be buried. We don't want to decay. It sounds gross and disgusting. And yet we also confess that Christ will raise this perishable body to a far greater glory than we can possibly imagine. By the way, Christ doesn't like funerals either. He weeps, even as you weep. His heart breaks, even as you feel broken. But where you are helpless, he can help. For the day is coming when Christ will speak to the dead, and they will get up out of their graves. And their same soul and their souls will fill those same bodies, and their same flesh will be restored. And the same eyes that you so often lovingly peered into, those same eyes will see their Lord and God and Savior, even as you, in perfect glory, will see your Lord and God and Savior. Death could not hold on to Christ. And so neither can death hold on to our dear loved ones who have died in Christ. For a time, it looks like death wins. It looks like death has the victory, its brief moment in the sun, but it is only that, a very brief, fleeting moment. And so before this brief, fleeting moment, we have this unnatural paradox. Our loved ones are both dead and yet alive. So with tear-filled eyes of a mother or a husband, we lay down their bodies to rest in a grave with dignity and honor and respect. The body, after all, is still our loved one. And perhaps with cries and tears, sobs and sighs, and perhaps in a whisper, we defy death, mock it and ridicule it by simply saying, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, your sting?" We don't say this at weddings or at births. For it only makes sense if we see a lifeless, motionless body. It only makes sense if we cry and grieve and hurt. It only makes sense if death is real. And it is. Death is real. But, dear children, listen to these words and let them take root in your heart, neither turning to the right or to the left. Death is real, but so is the resurrection of the body. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.